I'm Erica Wides, host of Let's Get Real, the cooking show about finding, preparing, and eating food. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hey, welcome to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. This is a special show. Hey, guys, what's going on? Is it what? It's New York City Beer Week. All right. We got a full house. All right, bravo. It's our special live. We're kicking off New York City Beer Week on the Heritage Radio Network. Ann Becerra is here. How are you, Ann?
I'm waking up. I'm getting
It's good. It's 12 o'clock. And we got all the brewers introduced themselves. We got representatives of four breweries in New York City. I'm so proud to say that there's over, what, 20, 25 breweries in New York City, Kelly?
24.
All right, so go around the room, everybody. Say your name and your brewery.
I'm Eric Olson, Greenpoint Beer and Air Company.
Kelly Taylor, Kelso Beer Company and Heartland Brewery.
Rob Kolb, Transmitter Brewing.
Anthony Accardi, Transmitter Brewing.
Kyle Hurst, The Big Alice Brewing Company.
Chris Prout, Greenpoint Beer and Ale Company.
Let's raise our glasses. This is a cool day, guys. Kicking off. Once again, Jack, we need a little cheering over there. Yeah. It's New York City Beer Week, guys. All right. And it's a special show. This Friday is 12. And everybody here is kind of like a little sluggish. Well, how long are you guys? Kelly Taylor, you're also president of the New York City Brewers Guild. And I'm really proud of you guys because, you know, it's what, like the 7th or 8th Beer Week for New York. But it's the third year that you guys, as New York City Brewers Guild, have formed and have been running it really with a big focus on the New York City breweries.
This is actually the fourth year of the New York City Brewers
Guild
operating Beer Week. Yeah, you'd think we're acting like it's our first year. Every year we keep adding stuff and keep doing new things, and it's always a learning process, definitely.
Yeah, man. So there's, what, 20? How many breweries in New York City now?
24.
And I was thinking about when,
as we've been sitting here, another one opened.
I think. Back in 2005, there was a Kelso, Heartland, Greenpoint that you guys are. There was Brooklyn. There was Chelsea Brewing and Chelsea Piers. And Six Point had just opened. There were only four. And you know, what do you think? What was the tipping point when breweries decided to open in New York City? And why don't you guys each give me your version of that? Because I think that's kind of a significant story, because even 2008-09, I think that people were considering not opening the city. Brooklyn Brewery was considering moving out of the city. What was the tipping point? What changed things?
Well, I think once I started Kelso Beer Company, everybody said, hey, craft beer is awesome. We should get into that. And
I think they all said, anybody can do it.
Yeah, I kind of let myself in.
So if he can do it, I can do it.
If Kelly can do it, I can do it.
What about for you, Kyle? I mean, you guys started out in this little shop out in Queens.
Yeah, you know, I think in part, you know, Governor Cuomo played a role in that, you know, with some legislative changes that made it, you know, easier for people to open breweries. And I think the palate of the consumer, you know, looking for, you know, small neighborhood breweries allows, you know, people like myself and others who are, you know, home brewers that are, you know, now brewing professionally to, you know, to really realize our dream.
What about for you guys, Anthony and Rob at Transmitter?
For us, I think it really was as simple as we couldn't answer why not any longer. So it was just we decided we'd start a brewery and couldn't answer why not.
Well, yeah, and for many years, you know, like I said, you mentioned we've been brewing in the city. You know, Kelso's been there, Heartland's been around since '95. I couldn't believe when I moved here from Seattle in 1998. There was 35 breweries in the city of Seattle. 35. And there was 2 million people, maybe 1.75 million people. Moved to New York, there was 4 breweries in 98. And I, you know, I couldn't figure out why that was the case. It just, people love craft beer. I know it, coming from the West Coast. And, you know, Anthony's point is valid. At some point, people said, well, now I have to do it because nobody else is doing it. Really, numerically speaking, nobody else is doing it. There's a lot of carrying capacity in this city. We could have 150 breweries in this city and still not have the same per capita brewery ratio that they have in the Pacific Northwest. So we're not even close yet.
That'd be fun.
Yeah, hey. I agree with that. I agree with
Chris from Greenpoint. Beer Nails.
And I think it is the growth of craft beer with the knowledge of the customer base wanting craft beer and knowing what else is out there, the different varieties of beer that were coming into the city around the same time. There's a lot more imports coming in. There's a lot more people wanting different flavors in beer. And that for us, you know, we make a wide range of styles of beer. So those beers we could only get.
You guys were like Browery Lane, so you guys were really more of a beer store.
Right.
So when did you guys decide to open a brewery?
It was probably about 4 years ago. And with Ed Raven, we opened up Greenpoint Beer Now. His beer store, Browery Lane, was sort of the breeding ground for us for the homebrew club to gain experience through sharing the beers that we made as a homebrewer. And then putting that knowledge to work along with experience from other brewers into a commercial brewery.
Can I ask you guys, how much of a factor are real estate prices in New York City for that kind of space?
I think yeah, real estate. I think it's one of the most intense factors.
Nobody
behind,
wants to answer
behind,
that question.
Behind taxes. Well, no, it's extremely hard, and it's getting harder and harder. That's one of the interesting things. Is it's you know, when we got our space a number of years ago, it was a completely different real estate market in Brooklyn. Now it's prime. So it's changing a lot of the business model of the breweries that you're seeing opening. You're seeing a lot of the smaller places that can have maybe a bigger percentage of their sales being the retail frontage, which is what it's really going to take to survive long term in the city. Whereas before, you could get a big abandoned warehouse somewhere and put in a 10,000 square foot brewery and go to town.
I'm going to guess that every one of us here would have more space if we could. Mm-hmm. You know, we're operating in 1,000 square feet.
But do you think that's
brewery,
part of the reason it was
room.
So stalled? You know, it's because of the space.
Right? Yes,
the space,
you know,
the price.
The price, and for us, you know, you'd think Long Island City was really cheap since there's, you know, four, now five breweries in Long Island
that's
City.
That's not even in New York City, man.
You know, yeah, so there's more in LIC now than there were in New York City.
Hey, Roberta's just sent us a free pizza. Look at this.
Nice. Actually,
hey,
ordered that.
Thank you. Let's jump for it.
Well, thank you, Ann.
You guys talk about real estate.
I don't think so.
Let's talk about some of the initiatives that you guys have done, and one reason you're all here is that once you guys took over Beer Week, you initiated the Smash Beer program. Tell us about how that evolved, because we're tasting one of them right now from Big Alice.
Yeah, it was the Smash Beer program was kind of our answer to the collaboration. We talked about for a couple years we want to do a collaboration beer. We should do a collaboration beer.
And you mean like in other cities for beer weeks?
Yeah, everybody gets together and makes a beer. And I'm not really a big fan of most of the collaboration beers I've had because it just tastes like beers by committee, in my opinion. So we were trying to think of a different way to do collaboration beers, and it came up in one of the meetings somewhere, and there was a lot of beer involved. We said, why don't we pick some ingredients and then all do our own thing, kind of like the Iron Chef. It was inspired by the Iron Chef thing, where we're all given the same ingredients. And let's show our craft.
You decided to use all New York State malts and hops.
Yeah, we decided to use New York State malts and hops. The first year we did it was malted in Massachusetts because there wasn't really any New York State malt houses to speak of that could get us the grain, the quality that we wanted, at the volume that we wanted. Because we got about 10,000 pounds of malted grain and a couple hundred pounds of locally sourced hops. Which taxes a pretty small system. They don't have a lot of opportunity to grow grains and stuff like that. Previously, this year we got some good stuff from different places, and it's 100% New York State grown, malted, kilned, and brewed beer.
That's
so
great.
It's pretty exciting.
So Kyle, we're going to taste a number of those Smash beers today as well. Kyle, tell us, we're drinking a Big Alice Smash beer. What is this beer?
So this year we went with a Saison. We wanted to do a little bit more to just kind of let you know, the ingredients kind of, you know, just present themselves in a natural, you know, way. And Saisons are subtle and easy drinking, and, you know, we all know Beer Week can be really exhausting. We're going to be drinking a lot of beers, so something that we're going to be serving at a lot of events, we wanted, you know, we typically do bigger beers, so this one actually checks in at just over 4%.
It's nice, 4.2. Like a little spicy yeast. What do you think of this, Ann? Taste
profile.
Yeah, I think
it's delicious. It's great with breakfast pizza. Are there any spices or herbs in
it? That wasn't a free pizza. You ordered it.
I think, you know, it's a Belgian Saison yeast strain that we use, which lends a little spiciness. But the hop choices also, you know, ended up being, you know, I think two of the three are, you know, spicy in their own right.
I've noticed a lot of the Smash beers, too, are lower in alcohol. Very easy. I think fourth year, everybody knows what they're in for this week. So appreciate it.
So, Kelly, I know a recent change. I know there was the New York State, the farm brewery license, which allowed farm breweries to have tasting rooms, and you can get pints on premise. So what changed recently? Like the the state laws change? Because I know you opened a tasting room.
Yeah,
in
the fall of, God, I think it was 2014. Fall of 2014, Governor Cuomo signed the Craft Act, and one of the components of the Craft Act was to make it make a microbrewery able to have a tap room. And we were licensed in 2003 originally as a microbrewery, so we weren't allowed to sell retail on site. We could sell for retail to go with a special permit, or we could do samples on site. We couldn't sell for consumption. That changed, so now we can sell for
consumption. So that's a big part of Beer Week, too, that anyone could go to these breweries. And so why don't you guys tell us, you know, where your tasting rooms are and what hours so that people can visit you the next week?
Well, Greenpoint Beer and Ale Company, we're a brew pub, so we're open during the week from 5 to close, and then on the weekend from 12 to close.
And what's Dirk the Norseman? Because it's like there's Dirk the Norseman in Greenpoint, and you're on Greenpoint Avenue, right?
Yeah, we recently changed the name just to Greenpoint Beer and Ale Company, so Dirk the Norseman is no longer the name of the place. We're just known as Greenpoint Beer and Ale.
I feel better, man. That was confusing, too. Yeah. We put on our beer list at Jimmy's on 4th, we'd say Greenpoint/Dirk the Norseman. Everyone's like, I know Dirk the Norseman.
Yeah, we wanted to do a little bit more brand recognition and just be known as Greenpoint Beer and Ale Company.
Then you guys, Rob and Anthony, tell us where your spot is and when you're open. So people can actually go there and buy pints, or is just growlers to go? How do you guys
know? So we do bottle sales and free tastings out of the retail space. It's mostly a production brewery, but people come and hang out and do tastes. So we're in LIC underneath the Pulaski Bridge. Hours are Friday night from 5 to 8 and Saturday and Sunday noon to 5.
And Kelly, where's your tasting room?
So our tap room's at the brewery in Clinton Hill on Waverly Avenue. And we're open Thursday, Friday, 5 to 10, and Saturday, 12 to 10, and Sunday.
That was a big change for you guys. Remember, it was just last summer you guys opened.
Yeah, we opened up in July. Yeah, it was a big change, and we had stacks of barrels and pallets and kegs and whatnot over there in that corner. And the guy that built out the tap room for us actually used a lot of the pallet wood, broke the pallets up and used that wood as the facing for the bar. And it's a really kind of cool,
it's
eclectic.
Nice. And you've got all your barrel aging programs right there.
The barrel aging programs
cool,
right
like
there. It kind of forms the walls.
Yeah.
We've got a lot of stuff.
What about, where's Big Al's tasting room?
We are also in Long Island City.
Which is part of New York City.
Yeah. Yes.
Never gets old, Jimmy. Never gets old.
Took me years to figure that out.
Yeah, everybody asks where in Long Island we are. We're in Queens. So we're open 5 days a week. So we're open Wednesday through Sunday. So Monday and Tuesday are our days of rest.
So like the smash beer that we're tasting, how much of that did you make? And is that going to be available at your tasting room?
Yes. So in addition to a number of bars, we kept a couple of kegs for our tap room. So we'll have it, and we kept two kegs, one for this weekend and one for next week. We'll have it available until it's gone, and after that we'll look to do our new smash
next
year.
Since we're live right now, so 7 o'clock tonight, a number of bars are doing a simultap. I love that you guys respect the bar community, and that's where we're kicking off Beer Week. Where are some places where people can taste your Big Al smash beer tonight?
Our smash beer is, I don't want to forget anybody, but it's we're at both Pony Bar locations in the city. Alewife in LIC.
That's a good start.
Yeah.
But what about Ann? You got something going on too.
Oh, Taproom 307. Thank you, Ann.
Yeah.
We're tapping a lot of the smash.
Kelly, where's your Kelso going to be?
Well, I do believe it's at Jimmy's 43.
You got a nice bag of the
And I believe mugs and banter.
That's great.
Banter has us.
Yeah. Kelly, sorry, aren't you guys working on a map where people can download and see where all of you guys are located, like all the places to get these beers?
There's an app.
Yeah,
NYC Beer Week app, which will roll into the New York City Beer Trail app after Beer Week. So it's going to be a year-round app, but it'll show where the bars are, where the breweries are, this particular context, what the smash beers are, and where they're going to be tapped tonight at 7 o'clock. So it's pretty... Very, very labor-intensive app, and it's got a lot more data entry than I wanted. But it's great for the consumer to see what's going on at Beer
it's
Week.
It's also where people can vote for their favorite brewery, favorite bars, bartenders. I think there's one.
What's
more.
That? Was the Rupert Cup? What
so
it's
part of it started last year as the Rupert's Cup competition for a favorite New York State brewery. We've evolved it to a multi-layer, five-level. People's choice competition. So people can go on. There's a survey that we're sending out. It's on social media. It's through the app. You can vote for your favorite bartender, your favorite venue, your favorite event, your favorite smash beer, and your favorite New York State brewery. And we'll be having an awards gala cask fest on the 27th. This is the last Saturday of Beer Week, and we'll be presenting trophies, small trophies, for the best bartender, working its way up to the Rupert's Cup, which is the 5-gallon stainless steel beer keg modified into a
then
mug
we can drink out of
that
it.
Big Alice won last year. And then any of the proceeds, we've already got a couple sponsorships. Last year we raised about $2,200, all said and done. This year, sponsorships so far totaling $1,000, and all that money goes to City Harvest. So we'll be taking donations and other sponsorships and whatnot throughout the
That's great. Week. Hey, you know what? We're going to take a short break. We'll be back in a few minutes here on Beer Sessions Radio. All right.
In 1996, L. Knife & Son acquired Union Beer Distributors, which was originally located on Union Avenue in Brooklyn, but has since expanded to its present location alongside the English Kills Canal in Williamsburg, Brooklyn. Union Beer has grown dramatically in the last decade as the primary distributor of Anheuser-Busch products for Kings County, Brooklyn, through the hiring and development of the best people in the industry. In 2003, Union Beer acquired a powerful catalog of specialty brands, which immediately positioned them as the craft beer supplier to accounts in Manhattan, Brooklyn, Queens, and Staten Island. Union perpetually tweaks their portfolio to maintain the highest level of stylistic breadth with the most coveted brands available. Through the highest possible level of service, outstanding salesmanship of the ultimate lineup of brands, and a paramount focus on education on all levels, Union Beer has solidified its position as the only source for the best selection of beers in the 14 counties of southeastern New York. For more information, visit greatbrewers.com.
Hey, welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. We got our next smash beer, Anthony and Rob from Transmitter. And what are you doing, man? This is like
pretty
wild.
Sure we're all getting roofied right now.
Yeah, he's putting some. So first, Anthony, tell us what did you make for your smash beer, and then what are you putting into my beer?
We made what we're calling it NY4 New Yorker Weiss. It's part of the smash beers that everyone's doing. We made a Berliner style. And through the process, I was in the middle of using some lime peel for another beer and figured out that I was going to make lime simple syrup. So I just dabbed a little bit of lime and rosemary syrup into the beer. Traditionally, it could have been served with raspberry or Woodruff syrup.
So I think it's interesting that the raspberry and Woodruff syrups are generally meant to cut the tanginess, and you're just like redosing
more
it with lime. Yeah. Amping it up. I like it.
I actually liked it even without it. I mean, I thought it was a nice, like, sour.
Yeah, it's a clean, clean, citrusy, lemony, sour beer.
So, Rob, get into it. So, let's talk about the process of you guys making and the smash beer. So, first, did you all get the same malts and hops, or do you get to pick and choose?
No, we get three malts and three hops, three different hops. And basically, you can use them in any proportions that you want and any yeast strains to ferment the beer with. So that's why every brewery in New York makes, a great variety of different beers.
Hey, so guys, Eric and Chris, let's talk more about this beer because this is nice too. So it's a pale ale. So you're like, you just start playing around with the ingredients and... So this was like your test batch. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, this was all six ingredients. So we used all three malts, all three hops. A little bit of spelt, mostly two-row. We actually had a different plan for this beer before we tasted the ingredients. We chewed up some of the pale malts, and we noticed it did have sort of an English pale malt character. So we thought, let's not ferment it with Brett. Maybe let's use an English yeast and sort of take it in that direction. So we smelled some of the hops. We weren't sure what we were going to get out of them, but we noticed sort of some subtle orange notes and some floral characteristics. So we thought, this could sort of be like, that 90s brew pub IPA, those first wave American IPAs that were modeled after English, traditional English IPAs, but were maybe using some of the West Coast hops, the earlier ones. So we decided to take in that direction.
And which ones do you mean? Can you give me some examples?
Well, this beer has the Willamette, Chinook, and Cascade. So some of those, American hops that have been around for 20 years plus. So we thought, let's see what those hops grown in New York will taste like in a really sort of simple English IPA.
It's great.
Well, you know, and that's an excellent point, is most of us, I'm just going out and let me say all of us, have not brewed with any of these exact ingredients before. They're all from different malt houses. They're different farms. They're different maltsters. They're different, so we get them. We have an idea kind of sort of what they're going to be like. But when we open the bags, we're all kind of surprised, you know, because it's a craft malt house and it's a craft small scale hop farm. So you don't exactly know what we're going to get. Now, the hops, we did use hops from this hop farm last year, so we knew they were going to be decent hops. But you know, the malts, we had no idea. And actually, for me, and I think, I don't know if you guys agree, my extract was a little bit lower. I get a little bit less efficiency out of these malts than I normally do. But you kind of roll with it and let the beer do what it needs to do, and you come out with something really interesting and highlight the craft.
Yeah, we had a similar experience. And I think you hit it right on the head, Kelly. So we've all worked with Two Row before. We've worked with maybe not everybody's worked with Spelt, but you know, many of us have. And so we've all worked with these ingredients. But yeah, the you know, terroir that is from New York State. If you go to a place that has multiple smash beers or to any of the events, either on the boat or Brewer's Choice, you'll when you try all of them kind of side by side, you'll actually get that taste and that kind of that experience of what New York grown grains or eventually malts taste like, and that's all part of the experience. But we did find efficiency to not be quite what it was, but that's okay. That's part of working with these ingredients. And
I'm real proud of you guys for leading the charge, because I remember, and I know there's some new breweries I'm not going to name that say they're definitely not going to use any New York ingredients and they just want to make the beer that they want to with the ingredients they want to buy. And I think the future is working with New York State ingredients, and I think eventually they're going to have some really unique beers coming out of here.
Yeah, well, absolutely. I mean, it's easy to order grains from a catalog. we've been doing it for decades, right? I've been doing it for decades. But it's hard to order beer, order grains from some farmer when he's got an acreage of land. He's got multiple acres, and you say, I will buy those acres, and whatever you come out of those acres, I will take from you, and you're going to have a variance, a tremendous variance. But you can make some interesting things with that, and the public will respond.
Let's pour one more beer. Somebody jump up to the next one. And Anthony, you were hanging out with me last week, and you talked about that you don't like to rush beers. This is more about your techniques versus someone else. I mean, with something like the Smash Beer, did you feel like you had to rush this beer?
And
what's your philosophy? Because you talked about you like to sit on your beers.
We knew we were under the gun. I mean, everything we do is bottle conditioned, and all our kegs are keg conditioned, so our process is really much slower than a normal process generally. We made this beer knowing that we were we had a deadline and kept it small. I know Pioneer Malting, we order from them, so we also leaned into the spelt portion of the formulation of the beer, because then
you guys
I had
stacked the ballot box.
We did.
Okay. Yeah. I was wondering who did that. I couldn't tell. Look at those votes were spelt. There's more votes than there's people.
I love those guys at Pioneer. Like they're doing really great stuff up there near Rochester. Mm-hmm. I feel like the malt coming from there has been consistent and lovely. So I definitely wanted to sort of showcase the spelt as part of this beer.
Why you picked the Berliner Weiss? Because that's a faster beer.
It's a faster beer. It's low ABV. We fermented it with saison yeast, pretty warm, to sort of push the speed and the fruitiness of it a bit. It worked out well. I mean, we bottled it a couple weeks ago, and it's ready to go.
Tastes good. I actually like it without the lime syrup.
Cool.
It doesn't even need that, man. Hey, what's this next beer?
So this is a beer that is not a smash. We shipped all the smash beer, so actually the first time I'm going to try my smash beer is going to be at your place tonight.
7 o'clock.
But we had some extra spelt left over, and we have a new beer that we came out with at Kelso, the Black Walnut Stout. And we didn't want to use nuts in the beer, but we wanted to simulate a black walnutty character. So we used some of this New York State spelt in conjunction with some chocolate wheat malt and some roasted barley, and it gives it that spelt.
It's
gives
great,
it
man.
A nice kind of toasty nuttiness to kind of make it taste black walnutty.
What do you think of this, Ann?
I think it's good. Delicious.
It does taste like nuts.
Yeah.
No nuts. All malt. with New York State spelt.
You know, talking about malt, I want to jump in. What do you guys think about the future of more malty, less hoppy beers? I've had a lot of customers ask me recently. For example, some of the Greenpoint Beer and Ales beers are fitting that model. I know you guys are doing, you know, some more malty things, English Milds and things. And also your beer, the Kelso, your Nut Brown Lager, I think it's coming back because some of my customers have started asking for that, and they said, we want something that's malty like a Kelso Nut Brown Lager.
Yeah, I think, you know, the lupulin threshold can only be pushed so far until you want more malt in your beer. I love hops. I also love traditional styles that don't have a lot of hops in them. So for me, I want to balance when I drink. I want to have a nice malty Helles or a mild, in addition to the massive IPAs.
Yeah, we were drinking that mild all night Tuesday after the Brooklyn Brewery event, and 2.8%, so flavorful. I think it saved everybody. You know, I think it saved everybody when we got there. Yes.
You know, my smash beer tonight, Jimmy's number 43, it's Rockaway. They made a special cask of like an English mild that's only like 3.5. Right. Kelly, how did you come up with Kelso Nut Brown Lager? Because it always seems so offbeat, but people always like it, and now I feel like people are coming back to that style.
Well, when we started Kelso, it was in a kind of an answer to the Stone ideology of arrogant bastard kind of thing, you know, which I like. Don't get me wrong, delicious beers. You're welcome, Stone. But you can only have so much of them before you're A, wrecked, and B, your palate's wrecked. And we wanted to do something that was not widely available in the market, and there was nobody doing nice, balanced, sessionable darks, and especially lagers. And it was Sonia's idea to make it a lager instead of an ale. She says people like nut browns, but they don't like to order nut brown ales. You have one of them, and you're done. With a lager, it cleans your palate. So we wanted to do 5.5%. We thought we were just going to do one beer. Because I was doing all the Heartland Brewery stuff, I thought I could do one beer on the side. And just, if we're going to do one, let's split the gap. Let's not make it a pale golden. Let's not make it a dark, bitter, hoppy thing. Just shoot that middle tap selection. And that was kind of the idea. And it took about four recipes to really get that nice balance of roast. You need the hops. You absolutely need the hops in there to carry that roast forward. And for the first few years, we just did sessionable, malty, balanced. We thought were balanced beers, and people. And it doesn't create a lot of excitement, but I think that's where the core of that's what I like to drink, and we brew what we like to drink.
All right, let's make a big toast to that, and we'll be back in a few minutes on Beer Sessions Radio. All right. Hey, welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. We're out at Roberta's Pizza in Bushwick. Check out heritageradionetwork.org. You got to be a member. And guess what, guys? It's New York City Beer Week.
It's
all right. Woo! We're so psyched to have you guys, four great brewers here from New York City Breweries, kicking off Beer Week live on Heritage Radio Network. It's been my fantasy to do this, and we're doing it today. And, you know, this is Beer Week, and we got cheese. It says, right. Chris, what he said, it's New York cheese.
Beer and cheese.
There's cheese and there's beer.
Yep.
And
I have some cheese. Before
there's our buddies from Union Beer outside, Tim and Matt, and they got
Tim,
some.
Come say hi.
There's so much going on.
Talk about someone who's up to his eyeballs in Beer Week, I'm sure.
Everybody.
Hi. Wait,
there's some great beer minds here.
Some great beer bottles. Do you guys want to come in and have some with
Tim, what are you doing for Beer Week, man? You got so many great breweries under your portfolio now.
Yeah, Union is it's kind of an embarrassment of riches what we have in our portfolio. So many great breweries.
Kelso now in New York City.
Yeah, a lot of great breweries. I work directly with quite a few of them, like Greenport Harbor and Six Point. Everyone's got tons and tons of stuff coming in. Peekskill's got some great stuff coming down too. Everyone has great events planned, cool stuff, you know, one-offs for Beer Week. There's a lot of stuff happening.
Next week, tell us, you guys have some really great brewers at New York City Brewers Choice next week. Some are from outside of New York as well.
Yeah, there's some people coming in from out of town. I mean, just the guys from Maui Brewing just happen to be in town, and they're
sitting here at Roberta's right now having pizza.
Yeah.
So
yeah, we downed a couple coconut porters before we walked in here. So,
well, Tim, you guys, thanks for your support, man. You guys rock it out. All right.
Yeah, we're excited for next week. I got to give my liver a rest today, though.
All right, man. Thank you. So we're tasting another beer. What's this one? There's so many smash beers. It's amazing. You know, Kelly, remember when we started this? It was 3 or 4 years ago for New York City Brewers Choice. You jumped in and you came up with the idea of the smash beers. Tell us the story of smash beers.
We talked about the smash beers already.
But tell me how you started in relation to it, because I remember I got to jog my memory a little bit.
No, it was the Iron Chef thing. You know, it was like we wanted to use local ingredients and you know, some of it was working with June over at Grow NYC and the New York City Farmers Markets, and she's been very, very good at promoting the watershed, the farms up
Grow NYC regional grants. Yeah. But she did so you work with her and you started sourcing the
when
malts.
I brewed at Union Square, Heartland Brewery Union Square, we used to I knew Don Lewis from who now has Wild Hive Grain Project, and he's the person we sourced all this grain from, and he would come in with bags of, I remember he came in with a 5 pound bag of freshly ground spelt that he had grown. It was all husky, and it was just a disaster. And I was like, "Yeah, I'll brew with that, no problem." And I didn't, you know. but he was the original champion of New York State spelt.
You made oatmeal with it, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I made bread with it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, let me ask you, if there was something, whether it's just evolving palates or more consistent malting or better ingredient, what is there something specific in New York State, and I guess this could go to all of you, that you're most excited about, most looking forward to, or seeing the biggest improvement in?
Well, I think that craft beer popularity is, as I mentioned earlier on, it's always been lagging here. It's been a very Eastern looking town. You look to Europe, you look to across the Atlantic for beverages for whatever reason, and now it's starting to pop, and people are starting to realize, oh, craft wine, craft beer, craft whiskey made down the street. I can talk to the manufacturer. They're using local ingredients. The money's going back into the economy. Intellectually, it makes sense. There's some delicious product. It's not all delicious. I'm not going to say all craft beer is delicious. It's not. But the propensity for craft beer to be delicious is extremely high, especially when it's made locally, and people are starting to recognize that. And it's a great value. And when can you go get a $7 glass of something? I can't even get some good juice for $7.
Especially in Brooklyn. Yeah.
Especially in Brooklyn, right?
Cold press is like 10 bucks. Yeah. Kyle, what about you?
So I know, you know, for Big Alice, we're one of the few breweries that only carries a farm brewery license. So we don't have a regular market brewery license, which means that every beer we make is at least 20% New York State malts and 20% New York State hops. So we're using local ingredients in every beer that we make at Big Alice. So as I guess the question was, you know, what are we excited about, or, you know, what's changing? And for me, you know, the hops this last year were, you know, just leaps and bounds ahead of previous years. So that's getting there. You know, 3 years ago, we had one maltster in the state. I think last year we were at 3 or 5. You know, I think we're up to 7 now, 7 or 8. So the malts, I think, are catching up. And you know, I think as that all happens, you know, I think more people, or at least more New York State breweries, whether they're farm breweries or not, will start brewing with these ingredients because they'll just be good ingredients.
Yeah, all right. Yeah. What's the next beer we're drinking? Did I miss it?
This one's called Acidifice Locale. It's our smash cheater beer. Last year we did 2 smash beers. One was with New York State grown apples. This year this one's with pears. So it's a sour, kettle sour, and it's conditioned on Bartlett pears grown in the Hudson Valley.
Why do you call it a cheater?
Well, because we didn't use the 3 hops and 3 malts. We use fruit as well.
Cheater.
Cheater. Cheater. Cheater.
Foul.
You now did not win a prize.
I wanted to cheat last year and wasn't allowed to.
That's because you asked. Well,
how are you going to cheat? Wait, Kyle, how are you going to cheat?
I wanted to use New York State maple syrup. And
we said, nine!
And I made the mistake of asking, so good for you, Chris. I'm glad you did it.
And that's why we made two beers. You know, if you can make one with the three, then do it. But if you can do another one, why not?
Hey, do we have any more beers?
Do we have any more beers?
Is there more? Do we? Well, there's more beer here, but I don't know. I think
so. We're going to do the pre-Rupert's Cup now. We're going to start voting and stuff. Yeah. Or should we just go to the app at NewYorkCityBeerWeek.com?
Just go to the app, and then you'll be able to vote on there. Yeah.
Just go to the app and vote for Big Alice Brewing.
I think there's something for everybody, which I think is fantastic. Every palate would be happy with the beers on this table. I mean, there's a beer on this table for everyone's palate.
You know what's funny is that, you know, despite how many breweries we have now in New York City, there's still people coming up to me and saying, you know, what is Beer Week? And yeah. I think that it's only going to grow. And I think you guys are right. I love that you guys are thinking locally. You know, it's only jobs, but it's like I still feel like there could be a brewery on every corner, like a coffee bar. You know, and I'd be very happy with that.
It's starting to get like that, especially if you go to Long Island City.
Yeah, you got to travel out of
like,
the city.
Every time it's like, oh, there's a brewery opening. Well, it's either in Long Island City or in Gowanus.
It's a good place to spend a day or a weekend.
Yeah,
but let's go through some of the other breweries that made smash beers. I know Finback did from Queens, Gun Hill. And Bronx, we said 6 Point,
right.
And you guys, Rockaway did. Jump on the mic. Who else did
Bronx?
We miss?
Bronx,
Southern Tier, I think did one.
No, it's a smash. The smash beer this year is all. It's smash beer is New York
City,
Brewers
yeah.
Guild collaboration. That's our collaboration.
So Bronx, Brooklyn.
We got Bridge and Tunnel did one. Coney Island.
Strong Rope.
Strong Rope did not do one. Keg and Lantern
Strong
did
Rope,
one.
Though, LIC
Beer Project.
Talking about time, you know, Anthony, you're talking about holding back on your beers. Actually, Long Island City Beer Project, we were with them last week, and they said that actually they're going to sit on their smash beer, not release it.
It's ready.
Is it ready now?
Yeah,
so that's good. Those are decisions you guys have to make, which is kind of exciting, right?
Yeah. I mean, you know, when the beer is ready, you serve it. We just happen to think that we often say at the brewery that the last bottle of beer we sell is the best one. Yeah. Like, we can't ever sit on it long enough. We have beers that we condition for, you know, 4 to 7 months before we sell them. That's an economic hardship if we had to do it for every beer. And every beer doesn't need it, but it's part of our thing.
And you can tell when something's rushed, too. I appreciate the brewers that really would rather take a little bit of a hit then release something subpar, and you guys haven't done that. It's delicious.
I just want to drink more beer.
Hey, you know what? That's our new motto.
Wait, so you also
drink more beer.
What did you think? It was beer helps. You registered that as a trademark.
Yeah, it's
a
trademark.
And now you're registering drink more beer?
Yeah, I just want to drink more beer. That's right.
Well, I love that we're sitting here in Heritage Radio Network studio and kicking off Beer Week with these esteemed brewers, and it's like, you know what? And one other time in another city, we might have had the mayor with us. We don't have the mayor here today.
We're working on it.
Brewers, and that's really what it's about. And I'm just psyched. You guys are awesome. Come on. Man, cheers man, and high fives man, and everything. Man, and
five, and cheers.
So where are we going tonight? So we're going to Jimmy's number 43, and let's do the rundown. Where are you guys going to be tonight? How about that?
I'm going to Jimmy's.
Oh, really? I thought you were going to go to Greenpoint Beer and Ales.
It's always there.
I'll actually be in the Big Alice Tap Room with my assistant brewer, John. We're tapping a one-off cask of our Sour One with kiwis. I know there was some question about the blender full of kiwis, wondering what that was about. So we're tapping that at 5 and our smash beer at 7 in the tap room tonight.
Nice, man.
I'm going to Disney World.
I bet you are.
Where are you going, Rob?
We'll be at our tap room or our tasting room until 8, and then probably head over somewhere and grab a beer. But
right. I'll be at Jimmy's for the opening tap there.
Whoa.
And probably bounce over to Mugs over in Brooklyn a little bit
big
after.
Big shout out to Mugs. You know, it's also this time of year when I like to look back on some of the great pioneers of craft beer in the city. And Mugs on Bedford Avenue in Brooklyn is one of them.
That's where we came up with the Kelso idea.
Brazen
Head. The backyard of Mugs
and,
having a stone IPA. Plus, Mugs has Imperial Pints, which is a rough thing to do with a stone IPA. It makes you kind of, whew, that's a lot of beer.
I think you change the glass first.
Or they did, anyway. Yeah.
Are you working tonight?
No.
Ann?
No.
You're not?
Nope.
Where are you going to be?
Bouncing around.
Let's just put it out there. What days or nights do you bartend and at which bars? You don't want to tell people on the air?
So it changes all the time. You know, we're always kind of...
How are we going to vote for you?
Yeah, how are we going to find you?
That's all right. That's okay. Yeah, no, we're between Blind Tiger. I mean, I bartend only at Blind Tiger, but again, it's... I think we're all in this job so we can be flexible, so it changes.
So we can't have stalkers.
You're always able to come in for Sunday brunch.
Oh, Sunday brunch sounds great.
It is.
Yeah, really, man, there's great. A lot. So it's NewYorkCityBeerWeek.com, man. Yeah. There's so much to do. I look at that site already. I know we got a panel at DBGB
Sunday afternoon. Sunday, right.
With you, Garrett Oliver, and a guy from the brewery from California is coming out, which is kind of fun.
It's good. We got a little cross-country panel, so...
I'll tell you, and Monday, you know, the crazy guys, Brew Dogs, you guys all know about Brew Dogs? The guy has a book out, James. He's going to do an interview with us on Monday. Tuesday, we're doing a live show here in the studio with Tor Exner, who's one of the grain growers upstate in the Finger Lakes, and two maltsters. We got Dennis from Germantown and Andrea and Christian from Valley Malt, and I think Jason from Strong Rope. So that's, and then Wednesday, we got Brewer's Choice.
Brewer's Choice,
which is... I just love that you guys support that event because, it started out to be the Brewers' Party and to celebrate the Brewers, and we have more Brewers now than we can accommodate, which is...
Yeah, it's great. Well, and I just want to say one thing from the production standpoint of New York City Beer Week. This is the second year I've been in charge of production, fourth year I've been involved. This year there's been more push from the community, more, hey, I want to do this, hey, I want to do this, from the retail community and from the public. Whereas in years past, there's been a lot of pull from the guild. Hey, you guys, can you do this? Do you want to do this? So this year, there's been a lot more engagement and a lot more push with the beer community as a whole. And that's really what we're trying to flourish here and try to promote in New York City Beer Week is that tremendous creativity within the retail side and the public side of the beer.
You've been a great president. I love the way you brought so many brewers together. And I really think that Smash Beer initiative is really, it sets the New York City Beer Week apart from any other week.
You know, as far as Kelly's point that there's more of a push from the retailers and your question earlier about, people like, what is Beer Week? I think the app is really going to kind of take us, to that next level where everything's in, we're married to our phones. We're tied to those things. I probably have my phone in my hand more than I have a beer in my hand, which is saying a lot. But usually have a beer in one hand and a phone in the other. But,
I was like, I doubt that somehow.
But having
a, that direction.
having a one-stop shop for all the retailers, the breweries, the brewers, the events, maps, everything. It's a great app. So if you don't have it, I guess if you get nothing else out of this, download that app and use it because there's new events getting added every day. That list just keeps growing and growing, and it's really just one spot to see what's going on. It's going to be a great beer week. This will be the best beer week yet, I think. I'm really looking forward
to it. That's great. And final words, Chris Prout, Greenpoint Beer and Ales. Anything you want to say?
Have a great beer week.
Anthony Transman.
I mean, let's do this.
Excitement. Disney World. I think going to all the, if I could visit every brewery with a tasting room in the next week, that would be like going to Disney World. Right? And Rob Cole, anything else?
Just, go out, have a good time, and support New York City breweries and the Beer Week, and let your friends know all about it.
And Eric, Greenpoint Beer and Ales?
Taste as many Smash beers as you can.
All right. Ian?
Yeah, be adventurous. Go out and try new things. It's the perfect time.
Well, hey, you know what? We're going to wrap it up. But again, check it out. Go to NewYorkCityBeerWeek.com and see what's going on. Again, thanks to our studio guests. We got Kyle Hurst. Everyone just say their name one more time, and it's kind of fun. Do the whole round robin.
Kyle Hurst, Big Alice Brewing Company.
Chris Prout, Greenpoint Beer Now.
Anthony Cardi, Transmitter.
Rob Kolb, Transmitter.
Kelly Taylor, New York City Brewers Guild, Kelso Beer Company, and Heartland Brewery.
Woo!
That's a title there.
Eric Olson, Greenpoint Beer.
Ambassador, ready to drink more beer.
I'll tell you, thanks everybody. Thanks to our producers. Thanks to our engineer extraordinaire, Jack Inslee, for coming in early on a Friday. And thank you to Heritage Radio Network for letting us kick off New York City Beer Week. We'll see you next Tuesday on Beer Sessions Radio. All right. Woo!
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.